बिहारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी गोपीचंद पल्लव गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जनरंजन यमुना तीरा वन चहरी यमुना तीरा वन चहरी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपीजन पल्लव गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जनरंजन यमुना तीरावन चहरी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Hari 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 Rama Hari Rama 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 Hari 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 Krishna Hari Krishna 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 Hari 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 Rama Hari Rama 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 Hari 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 Bol Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastai Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tanamini Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Vacharani Nivashesha Sunyavari Paschatyate Satarani Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. So today's class will be on Canto 3, Chapter 14, Text 19. Thank you. Yam Ahur Atmano Hi Ardam Yam Ahur Atmano Hi Ardam Shreyas Kamasya Manini Shreyas Kamasya Manini Yasyam Sva Duram Adyasya Yasyam Sva Duram Adyasya. What is this? Purnam Charati Vijvaraha Pumsam Charati Vijvaraha Yam Ahur Atmano Hi Ardam Shreyas Kamasya Manini Yasyam Svaduram Adyasya Umam Charati Vijvaraha Yam Ahur Atmano Hi Ardam Shreyas Kamasya Manini Yasyam Svadharm, excuse me, Yasyam Svaduram Adyasya Pumam Starati Vijbaraha. Yasyam svaduram adyasya Pumsam charati vishvara Yamahuratmano yardam Shreyas kamam chamanini Yasyam svaduram adyasya Shreyas Kamasya Manini Yasyam Svaduram Adyasya Uram Stadati Vijvaraha. Anybody else? Yam Ahur Atmano Yardam Kamasya Manini Svaduram Adyasya Humam Charati Vijvaraha Yamahuratmano Yardam Shreyas Kamasya Manini Yasyam svaduram adyasyam Puram sthadati vijvaraha Yam The wife who Ahu is said Atmana of the body He thus Ardam Hef Shreyam Welfare, Kamasya, of all desires, Manini, O respectful one, Yasyam, in whom, Svaduram, all responsibilities, Adyasya, entrusting, Puman, a man, Charati moves Vijvaraha without anxiety. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. O respectful one, a wife is so helpful that she is called the better half of a man's body because of her sharing in all auspicious activities. A man can move without anxiety, entrusting all responsibilities to his wife. Please repeat, O respectful one. A wife is so helpful that she is called the better half of a man's body because of her sharing in all auspicious activities. A man can move without anxiety, entrusting all responsibilities to his wife. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. By the Vedic injunction, the wife is accepted as the better half of a man's body because she is supposed to be responsible for discharging half of the duties of the husband. A family man has a responsibility to perform five kinds of sacrifices called panchajagya in order to get relief from all kinds of unavoidable sinful reaction incurred in the course of his affairs. When a man becomes qualitatively like the cats and dogs, he forgets his duties in cultivating spiritual values, and thus he accepts his wife as a sense gratificatory agency. When the wife is accepted as a sense gratificatory agency, personal beauty is the main consideration. And as soon as there is a break in personal sense gratification, there is disruption or divorce. But when a husband and wife aim at spiritual advancement by mutual cooperation, there is no consideration of personal beauty or the disruption of so-called love. In the material world, there is no question of love. Marriage is actually a duty performed in mutual cooperation as directed in the authoritative scriptures for spiritual advancement. Therefore, marriage is essential in order to avoid the life of cats and dogs who are not meant for spiritual enlightenment. So the next time somebody asks somebody, why are you getting married? What's the answer? So I can avoid the life of cats and dogs. That'll shut them right up. Once more the translation, O respectful one, a wife is so helpful that she is called the better half of a man's body because of her sharing in all auspicious activities. A man can move without anxiety, entrusting all responsibilities to his wife. Om Jnanantam Anandasya Chananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I'll read once more the translation. O respectful one, a wife is so helpful that she is called the better half of a man's body because of her sharing in all auspicious activities. A man can move without anxiety, entrusting all responsibilities to his wife. This is like the second or third time in recent times that I was allowed to give class that I'm getting like subjects that are like, how should you say, 180 degrees away from the way a sannyas is supposed to be thinking in his meditation. So I think last time I compared myself, it's kind of a weird comparison, but I compared myself with when a girl is supposed to dance on the stage, she shouldn't keep trying to hold her veil over her face. She dance freely. If you're dancing, dance. Forget about the veil while you're doing that. Although ordinarily she would want to keep the veil. So I'm sort of trespassing into kind of subject matter and territory, which is not what a sannyasi is usually supposed to be thinking about, but off goes the veil, so to speak. Have to dance. So what do we have? So what do we have here? The history of Diti and Kashyapa Muni provides a vivid example of how human life is just like a razor's edge. So there's a verse in the Katha Upanishad, just to kind of cap that idea of human life as a razor's edge. What do they say? That you have to walk the straight and narrow path. So at least they have a path, although it's narrow. But in Vedic Vaishnav Siddhanta, it's not even a path, it's just like a razor's edge. That's how, so we have to, how careful we have to be. So in Katha Upanishad 1.3.14, Utasta jagrata prapya varani bodhata shurasya dara nishita duratyaya durgam patastat kavayo vadanti. Translation. Arise! Exclamation point. Awake! Exclamation point. Please try to understand the boon you now have in this human form of life. The path of spiritual realization is very difficult. It is sharp like a razor's edge. Difficult to tread and hard to cross. So say Kavyo Vedanti, so say the learned sages. So this idea of razor's edge that sometimes, what will they say in, they still say this in American idiom, that a miss is as good as a mile. Do they still talk like that? Or a miss is as good as a mile. In other words, what it means is that it doesn't suffice to almost make the goal. You have to actually make the goal. Although sometimes we hear about getting E for effort. But in this case, we're getting a graphic example how only a few seconds of late or early, in this case early, makes a tremendous, tremendous difference in what's happening, especially when we're dealing with, we can say, almost cosmic personalities, Kashyapa Muni and Diti. Someone once wrote an article in Back to Godhead magazine, and it gave like a whole genealogy, like, I don't know if I'm using the right word, but it showed how even different species of life all come, in this case from Diti, and how it's a lot more detailed than just saying Adam and Eve, and it's a very, very detailed description of how different types of living entities and different types of bodies all ensued. So in today's purport, Srila Prabhupada states, quote, marriage is actually a duty performed in mutual cooperation as directed in the authoritative scriptures for spiritual advancement, quote, close quote. And I'm adding here, indeed, marriage is essential in order to avoid animalism. So we have the Hito Padesh is such a foundational verse. Sometimes I like to mention how I heard that verse from Srila Prabhupada in 1966 at 22nd Avenue, where else? And it was like a real wake-up call. What verse am I talking about? Ahara nidra bhaya maitranam cha. What is it? Samanam etak pashubir narana. Dharmohi tesham adiko vishesho. Dharmena hina pashubir samana. Dharmena hina means without dharma, without religious obedience, we can say, then pashubir samana, that the so-called human being is the same as an animal. Sometimes we hear two-legged animal. In other words, not very aristocratic at all. So when I heard that verse, it's not like immediately I went out and shaved my head and, you know, started jumping up and down in ecstasy and gave up all sinful activities. No, I had a long way to go still. But something clicked, something that was a, what would you call it, an hito in Spanish, how do you say in English? It was an important moment in my gradual coming to Krishna consciousness. I was thinking, you know, this eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. I kind of accepted reincarnation, so I just I said, I've been there and done that. I've done that so many times. Now a human life gives me a chance to do something other than eat, sleep, mate, and defend. Not that those activities don't go on. Actually, I have a verse to share with you that deals with that, how it does go on, but human life has to include dharma, has to include some regulation. It's like in Bhagavad Gita, dharma viruto bhuteshu. So that sex life that is not contrary to religious principles, that I am. The list of chapter 7, when Krishna is identifying himself with various, like Balam, Balaram, how is that? I'm the strength of the strong. Kama raga vivarjitam. Dharma viruddha bhuteshu. Kamo smi bharatar shubha. Yes, it's okay. I am that sex life. Prabhupada would say sex life that's not contrary to religious principles. So dharma is essential. All right, now we'll go to a verse, very interesting verse in Srimad Bhagavatam 11.5.11. Lokevya vya misha madhya seva nitya hijantur nahi tatra chodana. Vyavastiti steshu vivaha jagya sura grahair ashu nivritir ishta. Translation. In this material world, the conditioned soul is always inclined to sex, meat eating, and intoxication. Therefore, religious scriptures never actually encourage such activities. Although the scriptural injunctions provide for sex, how do the scriptural injunctions provide for sex? Through sacred marriage. For meat eating, through sacrificial offerings. And for intoxication, through the acceptance of ritual cups of wine. How sweet it is. Such ceremonies are meant for the ultimate purpose of renunciation. So we shouldn't get strung out on the not only that, on all the ones mentioned that we are no eating, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling. Prabhupada made it a lot simpler. Just don't do it. Finished. But not everybody is a Hare Krishna person or a member of ISKCON, or at least as yet a serious follower of Srila Prabhupada or any kind of follower. So these activities naturally go on, even in other yugas. So the Vedic scriptures, they provide like a safety net that one is inevitably going to fall into these what normally would be sinful activities, but you can, sublimate maybe is the word I'm thinking of. Or you can dovetail with religious practice in the ways that was just mentioned. I know, and even when I was like 12 years old, I was raised or lowered, however you want to describe it, in the Jewish faith, although my family was not, they weren't fanatic, but still I went to a Hebrew school, it's called. And on Saturday, if you went three times to junior congregation, that was like a separate set of pews, a separate like sitting area in the basement for the kids. Then you get a free ticket to go see Superman cartoons right across the street in the Beverly Movie Theater on Church Avenue, Jai. Otherwise, it costs 26 cents to get into the theater. So, of course, I kept me religious, you know. gave me some motivation to go to junior congregation. Now, in the junior congregation, you talk about ritual cups of wine. Even to kids, it had a lower alcohol content, but it was still alcoholic, and it was wine. They gave us this purple wine. And so it was a happy type situation, you might say. So that's what we were hearing about, how these normally sinful activities, they're sublimated or they're kind of put a cushion under it so it's not a fall down. You don't crash, you know, if these things are connected with religion, at least some religion. But that's not the ultimate purpose, to engage in these normally sinful activities with a tweaking them, you might say. All right, you know, some of you may be thinking now, what does it have to do with DT and Kashyapa and all that? So it's better I move forward and we'll reconnect with the Bhagavatam content. The basic background of what we're talking about, of course, is they're properly married, but even within marriage, this brings me back to the amazing time of 1966 when I very brazenly, that means very audaciously, that means very disrespectfully and kind of almost aggressively, I was in Prabhupada's apartment, I think it was just the two of us. And I said, Swamiji, what is this illicit sex? You know, it's like he had to answer to me, you know. Like we have to raise the Swami to the standard of the hippies rather than the other way around. Prabhupada said, I made hippies into happies. So, you know, because it was almost like religion in the Lower East Side in the the so-called East Village back in those days. So Srila Prabhupada was very, very concise. He said, illicit sex is sex outside of marriage. Bas. But for me, it wasn't bas. For me, I had to keep, you know, bugging the Swami, so to speak. So I started questioning, so what is it? What makes it licit and what makes it illicit, and when is it really sex? You know, at what point is a contact considered sex, or otherwise it could be just flirting or something like that. And I kept going on and on with that, and Srila Prabhupada said, just think about the answer that I gave you and come back tomorrow and we'll talk more about it. Fortunately for Prabhupada, I never pursued the subject. I didn't come back the next day to talk about that. But it is, in one sense, it's a valid question. I mean, I was asking the question to Prabhupada in a kind of arrogant way. I was saying, okay, so just because you're doing the same thing, it's sex, right? So then you go to some office and you get some marriage certificate, what is it called, justice of the peace or something like that. And you get this paper from the office and you're doing the same thing, and then all of a sudden it becomes okay instead of not okay. So again, that Prabhupada kind of like toned me down a little bit on that. But the question was not invalid. It was, I think, a question, what is it about it that makes it licit? So in the case of Kashyapa and Diti, on the one hand, they were properly married, and in one sense, they were very ideal. But the problem was the timing, as they know. That's why devotional service and life in general, human life, is like a razor's edge. To be so punctilious, is that the word? So careful, so how we do things. It almost makes you nervous. That's why it's such a wonderful shelter, the International Society of Krishna Consciousness, because we just covering so many bases by just chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Lama, Hare Lama, Lama Lama, Hare Hare. There's so many other details that we don't have to worry about. Devarshi Bhutapta Nidam Pitri Nam Nayamdani Narajam Sarvatanatats Yatomukunda Pradarit. What is it? Khartoum, yeah. So that verse just indicates that if one becomes devotee, if one surrenders to Krishna, he's no longer obliged to the devas, to the rishis, to the other living entities, the Bhutas, to the other people, sometimes aptas, sometimes animals. You're not obliged. You covered all the bases. You're fine. But there's still a difference between, say, in the case of sex or sex life, that is licit and illicit. So razor's edge, in that in Diti and Kashyapa, they were dealing with a question of just seconds. If somehow Diti could have been a little patient and just waited a few seconds. Now, we shouldn't have the wrong idea here that she was just like some kind of, I don't want to say nymphomaniac, that would be blasphemous against Diti, but just she was just so lusty or something like that. Keep in mind that when we hear about people, say women, like being lusty, in a Vedic context, not always, but it's certainly in the case of Diti, the lust is not just about sex, it's about having a child. And so Diti was, when she was urging Kashyapa to unite with her, she was also not just saying, "Oh, I'm feeling lusty." And no, it was that I want to have a son. So in Vedic culture, there's a little bit more depth to just animal urges, a lot more. So where were we? So marriage serves to sanctify sexuality, especially and opposed to the, quote, rhythm method, when union is time to maximize the possibility of procreation. In other words, the rhythm method, I don't know if they still use that language, but it refers to, like in a Catholic, you're not supposed to use contraceptives. I don't know if they still have that standard. I have to go ask the Pope, although he's not feeling so well these days. Pope. He may be more liberal about it. No, he's a pretty liberal Pope in general. But that's the historical idea, the Catholic, that you can't. So what do they do instead of contraceptives? They use the rhythm method, it's called. It doesn't mean they go to a rock and roll show or something. It means that they time their union just so there's least, in the cycle, in the woman's cycle, that there's least possibility of having a child. But the proper way of carrying out one's sexual activity in marriage is to have sex when it's the maximum time, when it's most likely that there'll be a child. So it's exactly the opposite idea. So timing is important, and in this case, we had just a few seconds. Let me just get back to my notes here. You mean in terms of the timing involved? And she was not looking at the watch. She was just looking at Kashyapa. And she even grab his cloth. Yeah, well, here we're dealing with not so much, when one is fertile and when one's not fertile, and it's not so much a biological thing. It's more subtle. It's about, as you see in these verses that follow, many of you have read them, how the time isn't right because it's the whole atmosphere becomes inauspicious. Even Lord Shiva's going around with his hobgoblins and so many, inauspicious energies are set loose at a certain time. We got a taste of that with Nanda Maharaj, where he bathed a little too early in the Yamuna, was it? And as a result, he got pulled down by who? Varuna. Varuna's agents pulled him down into the water. And he didn't even have a diving helmet or anything, but somehow he survived. That's a whole subject that I would suggest be discussed not during the class. It gets kind of technical, I suppose. But that's just another example of how timing is everything. I took a course, I had to take this course. I I made me the treasurer of the Brooklyn Temple when it was first beginning in Skirmelhorn Street, where it still is. And I was treasurer in a number of different temples, but I never had responsibility of so many different departments, and it was like beyond my experience, and I didn't know. Karnapur used to be treasurer also. And so I went to one branch of the City University of New York called Baruch College, and I took a course in accounting. And I did pretty well, I got A minus. So, now why am I talking about that? Hare Krishna. The mind just takes you hither and thither. So, something about timing. Anyway, maybe it'll come back to me. Maybe not. Maybe better if it doesn't. Yeah, the board of directors in the Brooklyn Temple include some of the real heavy hitters like Jadurani and what was the name of Tamal Krishna Goswami's Madri, I think, ex-wife, and some other Madri, and a few others of really well-known and influential Matajis, and some of the men also. They all voted against me continuing my accounting. So, I think one course that was, my father was almost crying because he was so happy that even though I was a Hare Krishna, you know, freak or something, I was doing something like really normal and doing it pretty well. But no, I went along. Too bad for my father. So, sex indulgence should not be performed as a recreation just for fun. when I always have to mention this, the way I do things is that if I'm reading something and I don't say, you know, any particular sources, I'm just reading my own notes. That's what's happening now. Rather, it, meaning sex, is meant to fulfill the main purpose of marriage, namely to generate good offspring rather than unwanted population, as Krishna warns during the towards the end of chapter 1 of the Bhagavad Gita. Yeah, Vanashankara and all that, the women become polluted, and there's Vanashankara, and sacrifices are stopped, and so many bad things happen. Arjuna was protesting to Krishna, trying to come up with very good excuses not to fight his relatives at Kurukshetra. In the old days, older days, I still remember that people used to sense the importance of marriage. There was one song called, it'll be silly if I actually sing the melody, so I'll just, without the melody, I'll just tell you the words. It said, love and marriage, go together like a horse and carriage. Let me tell you, brother, you can't have one without the other. Now, most of you are much younger than I am, and this may sound strange, but they used to actually have some sort of moral sense, even in the popular music, that love, of course they meant sex, it needs to be accompanied by this institution called marriage. That's what Prabhupada told me. He said, illicit sex is sex outside of marriage. You invade it. There was another song. I'm getting married in the morning. oh, the bells are going to chime. But get me to the church on time. Get me to the church on time. The man was totally ecstatic. But you notice, he wasn't saying, you know, I'm gonna enjoy sex. He's saying, I'm going to get married. So, of course, the payoff was that you can have sex. But still, there was some principle. Now, things have really changed since the 1950s in terms of what's considered moral and not. I mean, actually, I shouldn't even mention it, but we sometimes can't help but do some scrolling on the phones, and it's just filthy, disgusting stuff comes out. I mean, you know, you got these ladies saying the weirdest things, and I can't mention it in a Bhagavatam class, but it's just horrific what they're putting right in your face. It's like a, you know, campaign to help us get more degraded, not us, but people in general. We're not even tempted in that area. So Srimad Bhagavatam encompasses many facets of human life and other life forms as well. Here we find a psychological angle. I saw a poster that was kind of promoting the Srimad Bhagavatam, and it was enticing people to read the Srimad Bhagavatam, and it had all these different pictures in the poster, like squares. And it showed how Bhagavatam includes mystery, conspiracy, romance, war, you know, all these things that are so exciting to read about or hear about. Bhagavatam includes all of these things. So what we have in this episode with Diti and Kashyapa is kind of romantic and, can dovetail any interest one has in these intimate descriptions. So Kashyapa Muni, so I said here we have a psychological aspect. Kashyapa Muni was rather diplomatic, or at least very tactful, the way he was dealing. He just went into this whole thing glorifying the wife. There's nothing better than the wife. The wife is, you know, everything. This is not to imply that his points were merely artificial praise of the wife's vital role and responsibility. It wasn't artificial. He was kind of laying it on pretty thick. He was being a little diplomatic also. At least he didn't go the whole nine yards, as in the allegorical description of Paranjana in the fourth canto. I don't have time to go into much detail about this, but if you compare in that allegory, Puranjana, which is meant to indicate Prachini Bodhisat, Narada Muni teaching, that the wife sits down, he sat down. And the wife, he was eating, he would eat. By the way, I mean, he was like a shadow of the wife. So Kashyapa Muni is not getting crazy like that, as Puranjana, but he's also being quite encouraging, to put it mildly. He's doing everything possible. He's trying to do everything possible to get his wife to kind of calm down, cool her engines, just for a few seconds. That's all he needed, was just a few seconds. And back to the Rolex watch. So, one interesting detail. Yesterday, Dasara Sutta Prabhu was here, and he noted to me, I was sitting next to him, and he noted to me how Srila Prabhupada adds better to a half. Because if you go strictly by the Sanskrit and by the text, it says the woman is half of the body of the man. But Prabhupada brought it up to the more in the context how Kashyap is glorifying so much his wife and the position of a wife. So he's adding better, not just half, as is in the text. The context is Kashyap's eulogy of his wife and her indispensable role certainly justifies this tweak, this slight adjustment, that adding the word better to just half. From the purport we hear, marriage is actually a duty performed in mutual cooperation as directed in the authoritative scriptures for spiritual advancement. That's quite a sutra from Prabhupada's purport. And then I noted myself, like introspectively, had I been ready to assimilate this wisdom, Srila Prabhupada might have told me this to expand his entry-level dictum that illicit sex is sex outside of marriage. In other words, it's not only sex outside of marriage, it's also sex even within marriage should be for procreation. And that sometimes is more than some people can handle. There was this one, he was a mailman, that was his job, and he kind of blooped. He kind of left the Association of Devotees. I don't know if he ever came back, because the idea that I can't have, he was saying, I can't have sex with my wife is too much. I mean, you can do that, but only at a certain time, and that was too much for him. As Prabhupada said, when you're selling diamonds, you don't have so many customers. So Krishna consciousness made as easy as possible by Prabhupada's mercy, but there's still a certain challenges there. So Prabhupada could have expanded in sex outside of marriage. He could have added only for procreation. So therefore, marriage is essential. This is Prabhupada's purport too. Marriage is essential in order to avoid the life of cats and dogs who are not meant for spiritual enlightenment. So that is did I bring the card to you? The very famous verse, that 551. Nayam deho deha ilam niloke kastan kamam arhati vidbujam ye. How is it going? Tapo divyam budgena sadvam. So he does not brahma shokyam tvanantam. That human life is meant for transcendental austerity, as Lord Vrishabhdi was teaching his sons. So anyway, due to a little bit bad timing, instead of having nice children, we got the two H-bombs, I call them, Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, and that created lots of havoc. And then we read about how Diti, she becomes pacified, that even though she was going to have these two maha demons as sons, because of her insistence of not respecting the proper timing, she was ended up content because they would be killed by the Supreme Lord. That would be very auspicious. And also, there was another reason she was content, that I think that they wouldn't kill brahmanas or something like that. There was some other reason she gave. Oh, that's the main thing, yeah, that her grandson would be Prahlad, a great devotee of the Lord. Yeah, Bali Maharaj is ostensibly a demon, just like Prahlad is officially a demon, but actually in his heart he was a great devotee. So it's gotten a little late, but just a few minutes if anyone wants to add anything or correct something or ask a question.
I was just reflecting on the importance of auspicious in unauspicious moments. And I was thinking, yeah, that's so relevant in our daily life of Vaishnav. Like, I'll give you an example. If you do something on Lord Nityananda's appearance day, the auspiciousness of that moment is so great that if you do devotional service, it will give such a great result. And in book distribution, it's so truth, so revealed of the auspiciousness of very auspicious moments. Like I would go out on book distribution.
Put the microphone a little away from your mouth because it's too loud. I'm having trouble hearing you.
Like on book distribution, on Nityananda's day, I would just tell the people, it's Nitai's birthday today. Can you say happy birthday, Nitai? And the people would say it. And then I would say to them, do you know who Nitai is? And I would explain that he's the incarnation of mercy. And the people were so great to hear it and so enlivened. So it's just an example of the auspiciousness of certain days. It's just a reflection.
Thank you. Thank you for also being on the front lines, distributing the mercy. Somebody else?
In the third canto, fourth canto also, the Ardhangini, here is Ardha. So Prabhupada translated as better half. But does Prabhupada ever give explanation why?
For example, Ardha means half, right?
Yes, Ardha means half.
I mentioned that in the class that Dasara Sutta Prabhu was mentioning how Prabhupada added better to just half.
Did Prabhupada say why, or just curious?
He doesn't have to say why. I think it's natural for Prabhupada to also relate to what the contemporary usages are. So this idea that the wife is the better half of the husband is common. It's out there. You know, it's understood. So Srila Prabhupada, by his mercy, he made it more digestible for us. And not only that woman is half Ardha, but that she's the better half. Because that's a popular expression. Mm-hmm. And sometimes she proves that she's the better half. What is he saying? He explains it how. Yeah, but that leaves us still wondering because it's still got half and half, but we didn't get better yet, but.
Is that connected, just curious, Maharaj, is that connected like everything husband does, wife automatically get 50%, whether she is participating or not participating, she will inherit 50%. But if she does something, I haven't found any record, the husband will get 50%.
That's even more than half. Okay.
Yeah, well, obviously marriage is a ripoff, you know.
There's sometimes that people say marriage is legalized prostitution. Do you ever hear that expression? Sorry to put
since,
it like that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm not saying that people shouldn't get married.
Since Bhakti Siddhanta instructed Srila Prabhupada to translate and preach in English, perhaps that only applies to the English-speaking countries and not to, like, India.
So Srila Bhakti then instructed Prabhupada to preach in English. What about that?
That verse, that translation only applies to the English-speaking countries.
All right, well, we're in the context of English, so we could move around in that context.
I know that this thing came up yesterday with Chaturatma Prabhu's class about the 50%. But I heard Radha Govinda Maharaj's in his class, Radha Govinda Maharaj said that whatever the husband does, the wife enjoys 100%. So whatever he does, she gets 100%, not 50%. And it's not that if she gets 100% benefit that he doesn't get 100, he doesn't get any benefit. He explained that
the problem with arithmetic.
Yes, it's both. It says both of them get 100%.
But what is the evidence of? Is that in Shastra, or did someone say it in a class?
As I mentioned, Radha Govinda Maharaj. I don't remember him saying a quote. I don't remember he said a quote, or I don't remember, but I do remember him saying specifically. He says it's not. It's 50-50. Whatever he does. Yeah. She gets 100%. So it's not really a rip-off like Sri Mani Prabhu says. You know, he does 100%, she gets 100%. But just for 1 second, and I was thinking about that, and I was thinking, I don't know if Maharaj mentioned that example, or maybe he did, but like whatever money the husband gets, they both share it 100%, so to speak. But just yesterday, as the discussion was going on, I was thinking, well, it is like that. You know, even in the material world, you see if the husband is on Social Security, then even if the wife hasn't worked, she also gets Social Security or something like that. Or husband gets Medicare, she gets Medicare or something. Even because the fact that they are in this institution of marriage, it just shows the institution of marriage has certain benefits.
Yeah, but the Vedic goes way much deeper than just financial.
Yeah, no, that was just giving an example in the material sense. But no, this is, Maharaj was talking about spiritual benefit, as far as I remember, spiritual benefit.
Right. Or even subtle, like more like auspicious results.
This last sentence in the verse. A man can move without anxiety, entrusting all responsibilities to his wife. Well, you know, we hear chant and be happy. So the woman, all responsibilities, she's chanting, and the man can be happy. Even if he doesn't chant. I mean, you know, it sounds like can move without anxiety. It sounds like the man can be carefree without anxiety because the woman is taking all the responsibilities.
Not only chanting, but it's implying practical responsibility. That's what's implied there. Of course, the husband still has to be the breadwinner. That tradition is very Vedic in a sense. But anyway, to really be free from anxiety, we have to go to Vaikuntha and get out of Kuntha. It's the real formula. So it's getting a little late. I don't want to keep people to be overtime. But I'm sorry, Chivakram. It's the time factor. Grantaraya Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.